No, but if we can just quickly refresh for those that have been here, for the last couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, we first Kobus Mainkies and then Kobus Meyer preached from Isaiah 61. And do we have pictures? Just want to check. Let me just wait for the media. There we go. Okay. So we preached from, it's actually only three verses that we preached from, and that was Isaiah 61 from verse 1 to 3. My part is the last part of that. But let me just, to recap, just quickly read the whole passage for you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That's how Jesus speaking. Just to refresh your minds, we read in Luke that Jesus actually stood up in the synagogue and he said that this passage is fulfilled on that day. So we know it's Jesus that's been speaking of. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God, of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now the verse that I will be standing on, will be standing still at, is actually a small part in verse 1 and then also verse 2b to 3. Let me just quickly read that as well. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I just have to share something just from my heart, and that is just I'm going to try to stay with you guys. The last couple of weeks, the Lord just... I don't know about you, but we just saw God move here the last couple of weeks so strong and touch people's lives and turn people's lives around that we are so aware that God is here to do business with us. And this whole message, I want to say to you, this message is a message of good tidings. It's actually a privilege for me to bring a message that is such good news. I don't know. It just excites me. If you can imagine this, if there's a prisoner, and you would come to him, and he's been sitting in that prison for 10 years. Okay, now you come out of the blue. Here's a letter that I received to bail you out, and you are free from this day. The reaction on that guy's face and the emotions that will stir up, it's nothing to compare to when we get set free from our hearts that's been captive for so many years. Okay. So I really trust that as you will see, the message is a lot of scripture. It's a lot of truths that's just released. And it's just put out there for you to grasp, and it's almost turning into a teaching, if I can put it that, more than a real sermon. But I trust the Lord that as that truth has been spoken over your life, that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the area in your life for which that truth is meant to be, because I believe that there's people here today that will be set free. Okay, even during intercession, it was so strong that the Lord has an appointment with people this morning and want to set you free. So, can I just pray one more prayer? Can I just ask you, let's all just stand quickly. And if you can stand with your hands open like this in a receiving position, if you can just stand like this, Lord, we come before you expectant. Father God, we know that it's only you that can set us free. It's only you that can touch our lives. It's only you that can heal us. And Lord, this morning we receive that what you want to give to us. Lord, we open our eyes and our ears and our hearts now to you, and we consecrate it unto you, and we listen in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Okay. Okay, next slide. Okay. So, first of all, what I just want to share with us is God's heart to heal, and I'm just quickly going to just go straight to the scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. How may the God of peace himself may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is key. I'm going to read it slowly again. Okay. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Say completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we think of healings, and we've seen a lot of healings here taking place, if we see healings, we must remember that it is not just God's will to physically heal you. It's actually his will to heal your whole body, your body, but your soul and your spirit as well. Okay. Now, the next one is profound, and this is actually... this next verse, Mark 1, verse 42 to 42. Let's read it quickly. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing to be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Now, the day when I realized what was actually happening here, it was a light that went up for me. If you think about lepers in the Bible's time, they were cast outs. They had this skin condition that is basically the short and long of it is that it is like flesh that is rotting. Now, if you have left your freezer for 3 days without power, you will get a lacquer something to chew on when you get back home, okay? That smell when you walk in that place. Now, that is what lepers represent. They in essence, they represented sin, okay? If a leper walked in the streets, they had to shout, "Unclean, unclean." They were cast out. They weren't allowed in the cities. No one speak to them. No one came close to them. They kept him at a distance. So, Jesus, why would you do this? Why would you go and touch him? See, Jesus knew that person had shame. He was rejected. He knew what rejection is. And therefore, Jesus came. Jesus could have just said the word. He has healed so many people just by saying the word. But in this instance, he went and he touched that man. It was because he wants to heal the whole person. The whole person. Okay. So, how do we test the condition of our hearts? Now, okay, if I take this as an example, if someone comes and slap me through the face, okay, just out of the blue, okay? Ne, Sheldon? Okay. There will be a reaction. Okay, I will like either Now I'm a Christian, I won't. I will turn the other cheek, eh? Okay, but no, let's. There will be some reaction right there. Okay, and I might say something that I shouldn't say, but there will be some reaction. But the thing is, when we get hurt on the inside, emotionally, we tend to hide that away. It's easy to hide it away. It's easy to walk in this place, even if we're Christians, even if we have walked a road with the Lord for a long time, to walk into this place, if someone asks you, how are you, to say, I'm okay. But I'm hiding the things. And the problem with that is if you hide it long enough, it will actually start to, you want to not remember it. And I just want to say at this point that the message that I'm sharing this morning is, I'm not doing this lightly. Okay, I know what God has for us in store. Okay, I know the freedom. I've looked into people's eyes that have been set free of past hurts. Okay, so from that place, I say to you, I speak with a compassion in my heart, and I'm not making this light. I know this is hurting, and I know I'm probably scratching where you have not scratched for years. But it's not me. I'm releasing God's truth over that, and I'm trusting Him to touch, because as we read, He's the one that came to set the captives free. He paid, God paid a price for that Aina. He paid a price for that to be healed. Okay, so I just want to, I'm not making this light. Okay. So, how do we test it? If I'm hiding my anus, if I'm hiding my pain, my emotional pain and my brokenness, if I'm hiding that, so how do I test my heart? How can I test that? And the way is, and this is so beautiful to me, I said to you, Lundy, yesterday, I had this thing in my mind that Lord, the only way we can test that is by the fruit. What do we see? What can we see on the outside? And I thought, but Lord, is this biblical? I don't know. Is this actually scriptural? And I just started to search. And the first verse that I received was this one, Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Yes, I've got it there. Okay, beautiful. I, the Lord, search the heart. Isn't that beautiful? I, the Lord, search the heart. Test the mind. That's a biggie. Test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Okay. So, the fruit will show us what our hearts looks like. So, at this point, I'm just quickly going to run through a couple of things, and I'm not going to go into detail in this. And if I can do a little ad for Bible school, please. There's much more. I had to leave everything out and just put a little dripple key in there. So this is really a little drop in the bucket. So if you want to know more, if you want to go deeper in these things, please join us for Bible school next year. Okay, there we deal with it. But and also Encounters 3 and 4, if you haven't done that yet. But I'm quickly going to reveal. And even if I go a little bit quickly over these things, remember what we prayed earlier. I trust God to show you that one or two things, just to shine His light on that one or two things that I will mention here that's just triggering you. The Lord will drop it in your heart, and you will just know, okay, that's it. Okay, that's it, and you will know. Okay. So the first one is overwhelming feelings. Now, with overwhelming feelings, I mean like out of the ordinary. Okay, a little bit out of the ordinary, not your normal. Going off the rocket when we worship or anything like that. Just, this is out of the ordinary, okay? And controls you. It almost feels like you've got this feeling, this overwhelming feelings, like up and down, but it's to the extreme, and it almost feels like you can't get free of that. It's like you're under control of this thing, okay? And under that, overwhelming feelings like anxiety attacks, fear, depression. At this point, I just want to say clearly that there is a medical condition with depression. There is certain things that's physical and that where medication can be used. I've just seen, with that said, so many times where people have depression. I mean, I remember Peter's testimony and Judy of God just healing that and understand that even the medical condition is a medical condition. It means like if I pray for someone that has cancer, I can pray for depression. You're not bound to that for all your life. But for the most of the times, 95% of the times of ministry or counsel that I know of where there was people involved that had depression, it was because of past hurts. There was because of conditions series of conditions or circumstances that happened. Thank you. That happened to build up to a place where I'm just so hurt that I can't get over this and it's causing depression. Okay, can't go into detail into all these things. I just touch on some of them. Anger reactions. Okay. Anger reactions. Confusion. Okay, I just want to come back to the angry actions. It's one thing to, you know, this guy comes in front, and it's our discipline to, as Christians, and we've heard that a couple of times here, that if someone just pops in taxi in front of you, you need to have Christian-like discipline to react in the right way, you know? So that's, we all struggle with that. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an angry action that makes you want to hit your fist through a door when you walk into the house. I'm talking about that anger. Confusion, always confused. Not just like always. God does not want us to be confused. His spirit, God isn't confused about everything. He's not confused about your situation. Have you heard that? He's not confused about your situation. Guilt. Now, this is overwhelming guilt. I can testify of that in my own life for some reason. I always felt guilty. It always felt like I'm not good enough. I can't just perform like there. And I was always... And the thing with that is, the problem with that guilt, it's like you set for yourself aims. Like... Let me just see. I think I had an example. No, I didn't. You set yourself aims, and if you don't, if you can't achieve that aim, for example, I struggle with anger. I'm very short fused, and if someone just look at me wrong, and I'm just reacting to that, I don't want that. I don't want to be like that. And I said to myself, you must not be angry today. You must not do that. And then, because it's in the flesh, it just happens, and then you feel guilty about that, and it ends up in you being feeling like I'm a failure. Actually, I can't do this. Okay, false guilt that I've explained. It goes hand in hand. Okay, now bondages. There's a lot, and I'm going to run through them quickly. Okay, the first one is habits and addictions, drugs, alcohol, medication, sleeping pills, etc. If I say these things, it's like you can't go without it. Certain things are just wrong. I mean, sexual addictions, pornography is sin, it's klar. But some things, it's like this habits and addiction is something that it's something that we can't get rid of. If it's something that you can't lay down, you can know it's a sign that it might be, well, it's a sign that it is a habit or addiction. If you can't lay it down, it's a problem. Okay, some medical conditions, I know, but even that, I believe that God can heal that. Family. Okay, this is an interesting one. First one, generational curses. I can't go into detail into this, but the scriptures are there. You can go and write them down and go and read about them. But the bottom line is the word says that the sins of our fathers will be carried over to the third and fourth generation. So you might be sitting here and Omar has... Okay, let me just first explain a good example. There will be depression. Omar had depression. Mom had depression. And now I sit with depression. Generational. We can see a pattern there. The moment you can see that, you know it's generational. I just every now and then just want to throw this in because we can get all depressed here. But the good news is that God can actually cut off those generational curses and we can be set free of that. So, generational curses. Unhealthy family relationships. Now, this is where, for example... I've been moving out of my mom's house now, and I married, and now my mom comes and visits us. And I keep on comparing my mom's food with Yolandi's food. Okay, that one, huh? Okay, that Sheldon? Wrong. Don't go there, okay? Okay. That's a silly example, but that is the thing. There's such a bond between mom and son that once you get married, it's almost like she's still ruling over that household from where she is, and because you are keeping her there, and you need to leave your mom, okay, leave her there, and hang on to your wife. Okay, that's a new life, it's a new season for you. Okay, so that can also be a bondage. Remember these things. It's causing bondages. Okay. Religion. Okay, here's a couple. Cult, where there's a cult leader dictating what's going on. I can't go into detail, but if you know you've been part of a cult, or Omar has been part of a cult, or somewhere in the family there was something like that, I can guarantee you there will be bondages. Okay, that is, it's just like that. A sect is a church or a group of people that hang on to a small piece of the truth. Okay, it almost looks like it's right, that if you look at them, it looks right, and if you hear what they say, it looks right, but they hang on to one truth. Sometimes you will get a church that will say, we are an intercession church, intercessory church. We only intercede, that's all we do. Or we as church, I'm not talking about, hear me more, I'm not talking about ministries. Okay, ministry is something different. God will call each one of us for a different ministry, but I'm talking about a church group. That fellowship together. It will be a group where some specific truth. I'm just thinking of a couple of examples, but you get the picture. Okay, I'm not going to go into too much detail. Okay, now with a sect, I just want to say this as well. You might have left a church like that, and came to a church where there's life and met the Lord and came to Christ, but now you find that, you know what, I'm not growing spiritually. It's like there's a block. I don't know how to get out of it. I struggle to hear God's voice. It's difficult. I see the people around me. I see the joy that they have. And I came from that place. I left that church because I felt something is not right there. I moved away. And now I'm here, but I'm not moving in that fullness. And it's because something has to happen. It was to be in that place was actually, it was sin. I need to repent of that. I need to turn my back on that. I need to acknowledge that it was wrong. I need to acknowledge that this, and I was deceived. I need to face the truth and acknowledge. And then repent and renounce it and turn your back onto that, and then you can be set free. Until that has happened, you're still under bondage. Okay. The church you grew up in. Okay. Now, for some of us, has grew up in a very traditional church where if you rule, you get a needle, you know that one, or you get slapped or something, or in our case, we were just withheld ice cream, okay, that was it. Yeah, so it's, if you're rude, okay, can't eat the ice cream for the Sunday, okay, so that was, but I'm talking about, I mean, we must have peace and quiet and order in the church, that's correct, but I'm talking about churches where there's no life. Okay, and with life I don't mean drums and clap hands and that. I'm talking about, if I say life, I mean where you can see God works and where the power of God manifests. The word says that there will be people that have some sense of godliness, but they lack the power thereof. Okay, Jesus didn't just came to die just for nothing. Okay, he came to do it, unlocked a certain power to make us free, to set us free, and to let us walk in fullness and in power. Okay, not just to just be there. So it's where we have been in a very religious type of church where nothing happened, and there was the easiest way for me to test it, and that was for me and Yolande, our personal test was. I was asking the question, am I growing? Now, I just said that there is certain things that can keep you from growing. But for me, it was, in a certain sense, I felt that God is saying, listen, it's time to pull up your roots and move. I want to plant you in a place where you can grow. Now, you must hear God very clearly before you move. Okay? Because we can be in a place where we feel, no, we're not growing. Okay, I'm here. I moved here, I'm not growing. But there's certain things that God first wants to sort out. So there's reasons why you're not growing. Okay, so don't just run away, but ask God. He will show you. This is a church where I live, where I'm busy. And just listen to the testimonies. I always ask myself, when last have someone came to Christ? Because that's why we're here. We are church, not for ourselves. We are church for those that don't know Christ. That's our calling. That's what Jesus said to us. Go and make disciples. He sent His Holy Spirit for that very reason. You receive power when the Spirit comes on you. Go and be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. That's what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be that. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I'm deviating and I need to stick to my plan. The church you grew up in. Okay, this one is sensitive. Hurt and disappointment of church leaders and or pastors. Okay, now at this point, I want to say to you, on behalf of leadership, I want to say to you, we're sorry if we failed you. Whoever the leader was in your past that has offended you, I'm sorry. There's someone here that just needs to hear that from a leader. I'm sorry. Negative words. Words spoken to you when you were a child. This can be a mother or a teacher that just says something about you and it just stuck. And over the years, you've actually kindled that thought, and it's shaping your way you look at yourself. And that is, those things, those words are very strategically planted there by the enemy to get you to not see yourself as God created you, as the person that He wants you to be. Now, there's two ways here. The one is words that you receive, but also words that you spoken over someone else. I believe that God will also show you something that you said to someone that influenced their life in some way until this point that you need to make right. So that wasn't part of this. I don't know. I just feel the Lord is just saying that someone here needs to go and repent of words that you have spoken over someone else. But if you're sitting here and someone said something about you that's not true, then this is the good time to hear this. Inner vows. A good example here is mom and dad fighting. We're fighting when I was a kid, and I came to a point where I said, you know what, this is chaos. And if this is marriage, I will never marry. And you forgot about that. And years later, you can't understand why relationships doesn't work for you. I'm struggling, I suckle, I can't stick to one person. It's like I really struggle with relationships. It's a vow that you make. Now, we do that. If you're kids, you don't think. You just say things, you know, I will never do this, or I will never do that. Ask the Lord to show you the vow that is keeping you in bondage. I'm trusting God for that. There's a male person here this morning that you've made a vow that you will never cry again. Something happened, don't know what, but you said to yourself, I will never cry again, and until this day you have never cried. The Lord wants to set you free today. Demonic influences, the occult. Now, at this point, I just want to say, if you were part of a cult, of the occult, satanic occult, you need to come for deliverance. That is just how it is, okay? So, definitely. Certain books, now this is an interesting one. Certain books and artifacts that attract the demonic. I won't go into detail there, but if you have an African mask in your house, okay, I know those things cost a lot of money. Sias told us the story once that they were up in Africa and on a mission, and they collected a lot of things. You know, they bought a lot of stuff, nice stuff, and all that, and they came to the camp. And the next day, everyone was sick. Everyone, every single person in that ministry team was sick. And the Lord is just saying to Sias, you need to burn those things. He's like, no, that cost a lot of money. How do I burn? And they burned it, and immediately they got, they all became better. So there is definitely influences. I'm not arguing about this. I'm just giving it out as a truth because of what we've seen in the past. Okay, so artifacts and books, even certain books and things that attracts the demonic. Right. Limiting behavior patterns. This is where the phobias come in. Compulsive behavior, sometimes driven by fear. Okay? You can't sleep before you didn't walk around and locking every door 3 times. Okay. That fear, okay? Now, I say it light, but I know that I know people that went through like a burglary, what do you call it, inbreak, where people came into the house and held him at gunpoint and things like that, even hijack, things like that. I know that definitely makes you alert. And at some point, even that trauma, God can heal that trauma, and he wants to heal that. Okay, but that's also a fruit that we can look at and know that somewhere something happened. My heart is still aina somewhere. I'm not free of that. I can't just walk in freedom just knowing that I don't have to have fear. God, let me just say this. God does not want you to live in fear. Hear me. It's not his will. If you walk in fear constantly, know that you're in bondage. And God wants to set you free. He wants you to have no fear. Okay. It's good news. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's good news. Okay. Okay, physical problems. Many sicknesses or diseases are linked to emotional hurt. Okay. I've seen this a couple of weeks back. I visited my parents on the farm, and my dad wanted us to have church, and we had church and prayed afterwards at ministry, and I prayed for the farm workers. And this one guy had a knee like this, and I was praying for him for healing, and prayed once, test, no, it's still there. Second time, but the Lord, at that point, the Lord showed me that he's actually, there's a shame in his heart that the Lord wants to set him free of. God actually wants to use him as a testimony there where he stays, and he can't use him because of this shame that he has. He's like, shy and he's not that person. If you talk to him about hunting, he's like, you know, he's just everywhere. It's like all there, but when it comes to God, and it's like, and the Lord just showed me that, but it was because of a hurt. It was because of shame that he picked up when he was a child. Now, I just started to pray into that area, and at a certain point, I just felt the Lord is saying, test. I haven't even prayed again for the third time for the knee. I was just praying into this area, and God just said, test. I opened my eyes, I said, give me your leg. And I did this, and it was like, what? It's gone. And that guy couldn't walk, he couldn't drive, and he's the only driver except my dad on the farm, so my dad really needs him. And he was like barely hanging on. He needed the money, so he had to come with my dad to the farm to work. But he was so sore the day before, he could hardly walk. And the next, well, the next day, we'd done that the evening. The next day, he took a bucky with a trailer, went down to the river, five loads, trailer loads of sand, picked it up himself, and drove it back and loaded it off again. He was walking perfectly. You couldn't even see a nick in his walk, nothing, because of the healing that happened here. So a lot of sicknesses and diseases are linked to our hearts. Okay, let's just read this again. Isaiah 61. And this is the good news. He has sent me, that's Jesus, to heal the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Okay, so how do we receive the great exchange that we just read? How do I receive that? John 8, verse 2. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Take ownership. Confront the truth. Don't hide it away. This is one of those things. You will remember, some of you, a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember, God showed me a picture of someone that has a hurt, but it's plucked with bandages and plasters, and God wants to slowly peel that off. And for a couple of people, I said even that God started at that time. I said to that person, I think it was more than one person, I said to them that God is starting a process in you. Be at church for the next three Sundays. God wants to do something specific in your life. So come. And I believe that process started there. And last week, and now this week, and I believe that as the truth is released over you, you see that bandage, I need to open it up. Unfortunately, if you keep it away, it will stay away, and you will live in that bondage for the rest of your life, until the day that you come to Jesus, who is the healer of the brokenhearted, and say, Lord, open. I'm willing. You will remember I said that the thing is with a sore, if you touch it, you want to do this. You want to pull away. You know, it's if there's a thorn in there, and mom needs to take it out with a tweezer, I don't want her, because it's Aina. But I can't receive healing. if that doesn't happen. So those stuff needs to be taken off. And I need to say, Jesus, heal. It's not easy, but we need to do that. And that's what this word is saying. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Listen to this. Persistent denial results in self-deception and ultimately deceiving others. Persistent denial. Shifting the blame results in apathy and self-pity. Escapism through entertainment, fantasies, and substances leave us more empty day by day. Okay. Confess and believe. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. When does healing come? Confess your trespasses to one another. Not by myself, sitting in my room, doing it on my own. Okay, Lord, forgive me, help me with this. Lord, I'm so hurt. Help me in this area. No. Once you take that what is hidden and bring it into the light, and that happens when you open your mouth and confess it to a person, to someone that you trust. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now this is just at this point belief. If you believe in Jesus, you can come to Him in this place. The promise of being set free and being healed is locked up in my belief in Christ. I need to believe in Him as my Savior in the first place, and then as the healer of the brokenhearted. I actually need to believe Him. If I don't believe Jesus can do it, and I don't trust Him, it will just stay with me. My hurt will be my own. Oh, yes. Come to church. Why? I'm going to explain to you this. This is a discovery that just blew my mind. Now it happened. You all know the story, but see if you can see the difference here. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And then when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with a bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Then when he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." What's interesting here is that he said, when he saw his friends, the guy's friends, when he saw their faith, he said his sins are forgiven. But the verse I want to show you is, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I don't know about you, but if I look back a couple of weeks, even months, would you say and agree with me that the power of God is in this place to heal? I've seen it over and over. There's people here that needs to come forward and testify of what God has done in your life. You need to bring that testimony. You need to stir everyone else's faith. God has done miracles in this place. He's done healings. He's already healed broken hearts in this place. Especially over the last couple of weeks, I believe that this message is so profound that God wants to set us free from years of bondage. Come to church. God's presence is here to heal. Yes, God is everywhere, and He is in your room when you pray. But there's a special anointing when we come together in His presence. Okay, this is the most difficult one, and I've placed this for a reason here at the end, closer to the end. Forgiveness. We need to forgive. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay, how do we forgive? We're going to look at a couple of things here. First of all, the first thing is, let's just have a look at Jesus' examples. In Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You see, Jesus, let me not run ahead. I will get to that now. Have a godly perspective of the offender. This is difficult. It's difficult if you've been hurt and if someone offended you in a way that it's just, if you see his face, it's like it brings up those things in you. And it's difficult to see him in God's way. But in Luke 23:34, it says, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus was right in the middle of his storm, right in the middle of his offense, right there where they are busy offending him. And he said, Lord, I will have the... And if you look at that picture, you will say to me, but Nas, they knew exactly what they did. It's not like they were blinded. They knew exactly what they did. They were crucifying with a purpose. They were purposefully there. Jesus, in that thing, sitting there, being offended at that moment, saying, Father, I will give them the benefit of the doubt that they don't know what they're doing, and I forgive them. He paid that price. And that is why it's so important for God that we also would forgive. We can't be forgiven unless we forgive. It's binding you. It's binding me. Unforgiveness. Okay, now this is forgive continuously. Now, you might say to me, okay, Nas, you don't know the offender, okay. And you probably came to a place where I say where you said, okay, I forgive you. But tomorrow, if I think about that person, it's not like if I forgive someone, then, okay, now God erases my memory of that. No, the memory will stay there. And God will come and as you forgive, as I forgive today, it's the best way to explain it is like an onion. Okay, an onion that sits in your heart. Now, onion, have you ever tried to bite a raw onion? I cry if I just see an onion. Now, it's like that. It's like that onion that's here in your heart. It's that, you know, now what happens if I come and I repent and I say I forgive you and you forgive that person, it's like one layer that gets peeled off and it's taken out of your heart and it's placing it that there. But the thing is still sitting there, but it's a little bit smaller now. But the hurt is still there. If I think of that person, if I think what happened, it's like, yes, that's, you know, it's, I want to just, you're hurting. It's like seriously hurting. Now, this is the forgive continuously, is that taking off the layers as you go on. Again, in that moment when that happens again, say, yeah, I forgive you. I choose to forgive you once again. Matthew 18:22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, That's forgive. Forgive up to 7 times. But up to 70 times 7, there is confirming the onion, taking off the layer. Pray and intercede for the offender. This helps to forgive continuously. This helps to taking off the layers. Take off the layers. Okay, so if you can start to pray, but I just want to make a clear distinction here between to pray for someone and to intercede. Pray, you pray for him, you can pray a blessing over him and that, but to intercede for someone is to actually to go and stand in the gap. That's where I say, because of his offense, and just because God loves that person, he wants to set him free as well, I will stand in the gap. I will pray for his salvation. I will pray for his healing. I will pray a blessing over him. I will intercede for him. Okay. So pray and start to pray and intercede for that person. Bless the offender. Luke 6:28. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. So read that again. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Okay. Our identity in Christ. In Christ. I want to use an illustration here. And it's the difference between a wound and a scar. And this is what I believe that the place where God wants us to come to is where we won't have a wound anymore, but a scar. Now, what's the difference? A wound, if you touch it, you register pain all over again. So if you see this person, if you think about the situation, if you think about the offense, if you think about this or that, the thing, it is registering pain all over again. And that is the same. If you have an open wound and someone touched there, it's like it's there, okay? You know about it. But the scar, you can see it. And that's why I said earlier, God doesn't erase that thing. It happened. And you will remember that for the rest of your life. You will not erase that memory. But it is not sore anymore. You can touch it. And what God actually wants us to step into is to come to a place where that scar is a testimony that God uses in your life and in other people's lives around you. He wants to use that situation. God is the one that can turn every bad situation around for his good and for his glory. Our true identity. Now listen to this. Our true identity, Isaiah 61. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. That he may be glorified. Does it glorify God if I walk around not sharing the gospel? Does it glorify God if I struggle to hear his voice or to walk in his fullness? Does it glorify God if I'm at a place where I can never say that I have life in abundance? If I walk around negative all day and grumpy and this and that, does that glorify God? No, obviously not. So God wants us to come to this place where he will be glorified through our lives, where there's life. Let's go to that last picture. Beauty for ashes, where there's life. And this is the picture that I received from the Lord, that people that's sitting here today will experience this again. That is ashes lying there, but the beauty is rising up between the ashes. From out of your hurt, life is springing forth. That picture was confirmed in intercession this morning. So can we stand?